I've been seeking the Lord here and up in the mountains, and God has been ministering to me richly from the really incredible people of faith that live here. And you know what I wrote down? I wrote down something. This was the Lord speaking to me. He said, forget to dismiss the kids. And I wrote it down. It's right here. And it, so I obeyed the Lord. I forgot to dismiss the kids. But you can do that now if you... So I'm going to be speaking about times of refreshing. And I was surprised the Lord just whispered that into my ear. And I was like, huh, times are refreshing. So that so many people are struggling with weights and burdens and are feeling tired. And it, I don't know, it might just be me, but it feels like it's more difficult to live a life of faith these days. It's more of a challenge than ever in my lifetime it's ever been. And so I think the Lord wants to give us times of refreshing and wants us to be filled with his Spirit and with joy. And the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you about that today. But the Cliff Notes, I've got some curveballs to throw at you, but the very, very short version is, according to the writer of Hebrews, that the Lord rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if you want to think about all the different things you've got going on in your life and just remember one thing from this message, please remember the Lord rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's what I want to talk about today in a little bit more detail, because going away with that, you might be like, okay, what does that mean? How do I do that? You told me, I know that, I kind of understand it, but what do I do? How do I do that? So, let's talk about Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. This is such a powerful, like, everyone in this world wants power. They're like, empower me, empower this, empower that. How do I get power? And here we had Christ himself, the form of God, with how many? 12 legions of angels at his command? He had the host of heaven, that he can come and change things and do things. And he, rather than lay waste to his enemies, rather than punish all those who need judgment, rather than afflict everyone who had done him wrong by giving him a crown of thorns, of crucifying him, of hammering nails into him, he had the power to take himself off the cross. He had the power to destroy his enemies. He had the power to make them feel bad. He had the power to bring rain clouds that would just follow them around all day and rain on them and make them feel miserable, like they were living in Chicago from October till March. But he didn't. He made himself a servant. He emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death. Now, I can't quite comprehend yet obedience unto death. I haven't shed blood to keep myself from sinning. I haven't gone to any extreme to keep from sinning, and I don't usually. I like to do things my own way. I like to eat well, live well, go after the pride of life, the things that my eyes want, the lust of the eyes. And Jesus' example to us is crucifixion. Humble yourself, be a servant, and die. to what you need. And we can't do that ourselves. We can't, there's nothing in us except for the love of Christ and the vision of what he gives us to do. And what he does is the Holy Spirit speaks to us individually and tells us exactly what at any moment we can do to live in the Spirit, to live in faith, to do the work of God, which is to live by faith. So today, thankfully, I haven't been called to give my life for Christ, but he has called me to live by his Spirit and to obey him and to be more obedient, because I've been knowing God's will for a long time. From a very small child, I knew that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. If I pray and I seek his face, I knew in my heart that God would reward that. God would reach to me as I'm reaching for him. And honestly, at times when I'm going through struggles, when I'm dealing with what I consider to be persecutions for my faith, or just difficulties with people who, for whatever reason, are difficult towards me, I might feel down, I might feel upset, I might feel hurt, I might have all kinds of feelings. But Philippians 2, 3 through 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, rather than live in my pain and frustration and suffering, one of the ways that God's calling me out of that and calling us to serve him is to just honor each other. And, you know, many of you are mature and you've been teaching me more about this in ways I haven't quite understood. But God does speak to us about how when we're suffering, when we're frustrated, when people are really getting us down, how do we approach them? How do we deal with that? How do we struggle through that cross that we have to bear that day? Well, he says one of the first things to do is to value, do nothing out of ambition to try to get above them, but in humility value others above yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So God has blessed me with some things, and now I need to look at how I can bless other people with some of the things that I have. And that's a challenge to me and to all of us, I guess. The Lord will speak to us at how we can be not just focused on what, oh gosh, if these people hadn't done such a bad job of engineering, my Jeep wouldn't always throw lights on the dashboard. I hate that. Every time I take it into the shop, it comes back out, and the light comes right back on again. And I'm like, I get so mad, and I feel persecuted, I feel upset. But this is a very, very selfish thing, because there are people who are not able to drive here, there, or other places, and yet I'm very, very concerned and upset and feeling down and persecuted because my dashboard shows me a check engine and the hybrid electric system needs service again. My perspective, God keeps working on it. My perspective is I need to not do things out of selfish ambition, not to try to raise myself above someone else, but also to look under the interests of others. And he got me right up in front of you so that he could remind me of that I have said these things and repeated them to all of you. Thank the Lord. Now in Isaiah 40, 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now those are really difficult verses that we pass through in Philippians. But here it is, the payoff, the joy of being lifted up with the Spirit, being lifted up into God's presence when we are connected to him by the attitudes of our heart being changed and conformed into his likeness. I saw a bald eagle for the first time this past week, and it gave me such joy. It just so beautiful. And it gave me just a reminder of God's word and his way of taking us up into the air and what he wants to do miraculously through us when he makes those changes to us, when we conform to his likeness. to the cross. So in Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So this is a thing that he draws us to him. He's kind. He's generous. He's the one who gives us the urge to draw near to him. But when we do, we kind of need to throw some baggage overboard. We need to start getting rid of and dealing with the sin that keeps us away, that keeps that gap between us feeling his presence and knowing his comfort and being strengthened immediately. Because when we don't follow the ways of the Spirit, we follow the ways of the flesh, and they come easy. And we don't feel his comfort. I mean, we don't rely on our feelings. We walk by faith. But the faith will come with an anointing, with a blessing, with an encouragement, with strength, with wings as eagles. And even in what is it, Psalm 23, he says he'll lay out a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So the people who are persecuting you will get to see you enjoying the blessings of the Lord right in front of them. This is tasty. And the Lord does it. We don't have to set that up. We don't have to say, I'm going to get revenge on you. I need to think of them as more highly than myself, humble myself. Even David prayed for the people that were persecuting him. He prayed for Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. He prayed and wept for Saul. And God turned the tables. God was able to use his brokenness, his yieldedness, his love to do the will of God. And that's one of the most important things in our relationship, is that obedience. And it's really difficult. But he draws us to him. And as we need him, as we see him, he will help us and encourage us and give us that ability to obey. Because if we've done something wrong, all we have to do is admit it. Like, yes, I agree with you, Lord. That was wrong. I agree with you, Father God. I did the wrong thing. And he forgives us and takes us right back into his fold and encourages us. So by confessing, we can walk closer to him, and even obeying things that we've not been able to do on our own. We can't actually do everything on our own. We need him to give us that blessing to do that. So, again, back into Philippians. This is such a challenging verse. In 2:14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Now, this is God's purpose, is that we would radiate his light in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of difficulty, that he would be able to draw out the joy, his presence, show the light of his countenance. Like Moses, when he went up and met with God, he came down actually glowing. His face was actually glowing. And so Christ wants to be formed in you, that you would radiate and shine in this darkness. Another key thing to keep in mind is that we understand the grace of God and the love of God, but we are beholden. In Matthew 6:14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I went like 30 years without really ever seeing this verse. I didn't understand. How in the world did I not see this verse for like 30 years? This is the joy. We walk in the forgiveness of God, and we give forgiveness to other people. It takes the load right off of our back. All of our weights and burdens become dissolved in the grace of God, in the mercy of Christ, in his blood. We're like, oh, I received full pardon. I'm going to give full pardon. And it's going to lift up the countenance of my face and the burden and the weight and the sorrow and the grief it's going to dissolve. But some things are really difficult to forgive. Some things are really sticking you hard. They're just, the cross has, like, my cross is surprising every time. The cross that God gives me is always a shock and a horror and a surprise. And I don't like how it comes. I don't like anything about it. But I really want to point my finger at the people who were right there when it was whatever my punishment, for whatever it is, my suffering that I had to deal with came. And it's an impossible burden at times. In your mind, you can't figure out how to get past the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, whatever that is. I was, for a moment or for a while, exceedingly grief-stricken, angry, bitter at a loss of someone very close and dear to me. And I wanted to blame the engineers who made the defective throttle body on the 1996 Chrysler Sebring so that it would tend to run away, the throttle would sometimes go away. And I was angry at the people who gave her a free car and didn't bother to make sure that it was tuned up, had new tires and all the safety systems. So that was an unbelievable bitterness, a sadness, a pain that I couldn't get past. But I'm finding that if I speak to the person and tell them what they did wrong, I can give that over to the Lord. If someone has hurt me that badly, I can, if I share with them that they upset me and they hurt me, then I can give that over to the Lord and he can take care of it. So in the same way, if we feel too much of a burden about our sin towards the Lord, we're like, God really can't forgive this. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So if somebody's done you something wrong, tell them. If you've done something wrong, confess it. And bring the joy of God back into that place, back into that brokenness. And these are aspirational things. God lays out the instructions. But the crux of the matter is we need to seek the Lord with our whole heart and offer him up obedience to things that we have been struggling with. And obedience may mean confession of sin. It may mean telling somebody that they hurt you. When you don't want to speak, you don't want to say anything, you don't want to bother anybody, you just want to let it ride. But it's a burden. And if you can say what happened, you can give it to the Lord. And maybe even win over someone who was drifting apart from you. And we can live in unity in the bond of peace. And when the Holy Spirit fell on the church in Acts, they were together in one heart, one mind, and one of the cords seeking the Lord. And the unity is something that God is free to move through. When we are unified, wanting to know God, wanting to be one with him, and we're unified with each other, at peace with each other, caring for each other, he's able to just jump right into the middle of that. And we've seen, I brag on the Holy Spirit, we've seen some miracles take place here in our body when we've sought the Lord. And as the difficulty and the darkness comes, we want the Lord to do more. We want more. We need more. We're getting burnt. We're struggling sometimes. We're feeling upset, weak, like we got nothing left sometimes. We need more of the Lord. We need unity together in purpose to seek the Lord, to love each other, to think of each other more highly than ourselves, to be servants of each other, is the way forward. That's how we get there. Hey, Seth, do you feel like playing the guitar again? Do you feel like playing the guitar again? Oh, all of the songs today were so aligned with everything that I'm trying to convey. I want to invite everyone who has some business with the Lord to come and have some business with the Lord, to pray for each other, to confess your sins to one another, to the Lord, whatever it is. This is a house of prayer. So come and seek him and seek his reward.